You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Yep, a little Cowboys, Bucks here. Sprinkle little Browns, Kansas City there. Week one and week four, Brady's return to New England. NFL schedule was a slow release this year, like dropping breadcrumbs from a breadcrumb factory. And the factory made out of breadcrumbs. Let's go.
Easy.
16-week event for the schedule release. Games. Look, games. Let me hear it, National Battle. Week one, Bucks Cowboys in Tampa. That's your opener. KC Cleveland on schedule that first week. Green Bay New Orleans on schedule that first week. Pittsburgh Buffalo. You can go on and on and on. And then, excuse me, but you can't help but just stare at week four. Buccaneers at New England. Brady versus Belichick. And his return to New England. What did we do to deserve this? Oh, that's right. All of 2020, the pandemic. Yes, we deserve everything we get. Mina Kimes, what from the schedule's very slow release jumps out at you?
Well, you left out the Sam Darnold revenge game, Panthers-Jets, which I actually am a little bit intrigued by. As far as actual meaningful football, I gotta go with Chiefs Browns because the Browns are legitimate AFC contenders. Of course, the Chiefs are number one in everyone's hearts. And they went into this offseason, Tony, with a very specific goal: fix our pass defense. Mm-hmm. That was the weakest part of the team. They signed Jadeveon Clowney. They got Troy Hill and John Johnson from the Rams. And then in the draft, they got Greg Newsom II, excellent cornerback from Northwestern, and Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. They are stacked on paper. Patrick Mahomes is, of course, the ultimate test for a pass defense. So I think we'll see very early on if the Browns are just good on paper as they've been in the past or if they are true contenders.
Israel Gutierrez, what jumps out of you? This very slow release of the NFL schedule.
Well, this same game jumped out to me, so I'll just continue there because it's sort of the rare week one measuring stick game if you're the Cleveland Browns, and they've dealt with expectations and haven't handled them well in the past, so we'll see how we go here. But also just on the other side with the Chiefs because, you know, 2 years ago after they won their Super Bowl, we thought they'd run off five or six, so we'd like to see, make sure everything seems to be in place there in KC, including or mostly that offensive line. But in terms of revenge games, I'm definitely looking at that Lions at the Rams game with Jared Goff going back to Los Angeles. There's just something about that relationship between him and McVay and how it dissolved so quickly last year. And I just can't wait to see what ramps up out of the week of quotes.
You guys have these revenge games, Sam Darnold versus the Jets and Goff versus the Rams. Who's getting revenge on who? I mean, I don't... Kevin Blackstone, I know you said it before we sat down. This whole slow release of a schedule is kind of driving you crazy. Give it to me. Come on.
Well, it's just a slow release of information that the NFL gives us every month of the year. Here we are in the
you
middle
don't like
of
this?
May, and this is because, well, I'm not saying I don't like it, but it becomes a story. So I do like talking about it now, and you know what? I like talking about what you buried in the lead, and that's the game that should kick off the season. It's the Buccaneers at New England. That's what you want to see. I don't want to see the stinking Cowboys, a 6-10 team who couldn't even figure out who they wanted to have at quarterback and pay him a bunch of money. I want to see Belichick and Brady again. That's the game that should be the first game to kick off the
and
season.
And Pablo Torre.
I just love how this day has become like the Pentagon Papers for so many people. Oh, we're getting details about this schedule. Yes, it is insane that we do it like this, but I do want to get conspiratorial if we're going to go that way because I was looking at that schedule, Tony, and I was like, wait a minute. Okay, Fox, big media rights holder at 4:25 p.m. on Sunday. They get Broncos, Giants. That's weird. Why are they doing that? And then I see simultaneously at that same time slot, Fox also has Packers, Saints. And so I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute. This tells me that people who know things are also incredibly concerned that Aaron Rodgers is not going to be a Packer, and that specifically he might be a Bronco. So what do? You give your big media rights holder both games to cover Aaron Rodgers on both ends. It is exactly what's happening.
Or it's just a map on the back of the Declaration of Independence from Pablo Torre. Read a last word here. Is anything Pablo Torre just said makes sense?
Not really. The Giants also happen to be like the biggest media market in America. But I would also just to say, to push back and kind of like, oh, this is meaningless. We already know. Something that is very meaningful and that I will be watching for is when the teams with rookie quarterbacks who are not guaranteed to start, San Francisco, Chicago, New England, what their schedules look like, because I think it'll tell us a little bit about whether those quarterbacks are likely to start week one or not, or whether those teams might be inclined to onboard them a little later if the schedules are really difficult early on.
That's not a bad point, but we'll make it just one point for you, Mina Kimes. Got some work. I thought you'd be in the lead after the NFL discussion. Got some work to make up here in the NBA portion of the A-Block. Here, basketball now. Latest on Anthony Davis. Iffy. It's now a tight groin after a tweaked ankle and a spasmed back and a sore calf and Achilles. This is what the Lakers have to deal with just nightly. LeBron, also questionable for tonight, though they're expecting him to come back versus Houston. Last night, LA beat the Knicks. THT, dynamite. Israel, what position are the Lakers in now with more iffiness?
Well, they should put Iffy on the back of Davis's jersey just for the rest of his career, because this is the problem, right? He has a sore groin, and you're saying, hey, we should probably sit him out in this game and not make it any worse. But then you also need to see him. You need to see him play against LeBron alongside LeBron. And you need to get at least a couple of games of some sort of rhythm before you go likely into a play-in game. So I don't think that they're going to force him to play through. I think they're going to trust their ability to actually be able to get to come together when those two are healthy and not really force it, because let's face it, a sore groin can turn into much worse for Anthony Davis. It's not really to pick on him, obviously. He just has this history. So I would say it's just a tenuous situation for the Lakers, and if they don't make it to the playoffs, and that means they have to win in the play-in series, right? Then they'll be a lottery team. You're going from champion to lottery, and just that possibility has to really have this franchise kind of nervous. So it really just falls on the health of Anthony Davis, and that's not something you can be comfortable with.
KB, is Israel getting maybe a little ahead of himself with the Lakers in the lottery, or is that what we're looking at here with the iffiness?
I mean, that's a possibility. I mean, he just laid it out because we've talked about it so much this season. It's all about health. And if these guys are not healthy, they cannot compete. And you've got the two superstars who carried them to that to the bubble championship not being able to play night in and night out. You've lost other players on the roster as well here and there, and you're relying on a guy like Drummond to come in and get you double-doubles or some guy to come off the bench and hit a three-pointer for you to pull out a close game. Fortunately for them, they have a bad Houston team coming up. They do have to play the Pacers, who are right there on that playoff bubble. So they've got a little bit of competition to come, but they're in a heap of trouble. It's just not as easy as flipping the switch.
Pablo, is it for you as much trouble as Israel and Kevin suggest?
Well, the game tonight is going to be easy because the Houston Rockets want to win this game less than the Lakers, in fact. Like, they are terrible. They're going to roll over. They have no incentive to win. Good news for the Lakers. What is bad news for the Lakers is under the heading of the other guys that KB just alluded to, because Alex Caruso played 7 minutes and then left because he had a foot problem. Alex Caruso is both a meme and also one of the better defenders in the league. He is the guy that they need to help defend, theoretically, a Steph Curry in that play-in game or the play-in round. So if he's not healthy, that's a problem. When you have Dennis Schroeder also out because of an ankle thing, another issue, right? They won this game without having ball handlers. These are serious questions for a team that relies on defense.
Amina Kimes, from bubble to bubble wrap with these Lakers, is it as dim as everyone has just painted?
I'm not going to say, or I guess pose the threat of the lottery like Izzy did. I think the real issue now is whether or not they can avoid the play-in, because the Trailblazers have an extremely difficult schedule with these three remaining games. So it is still a possibility, which is why there are real stakes for the Lakers going into the final stretch. And as much credit as they deserve for last night and the incredible defense, I think it was their best defensive performance of the season, and they outgritted the Knicks, who might be one of the grittiest teams in the NBA idea as well. That grit comes from all of the players we've been talking about. Caruso, AD. We saw what happened when potentially they rushed LeBron back a little bit last time and made him play too much. So I'd be concerned about LeBron coming back early again. So, yeah, I'm worried. It's Lakers fans.
Hold on
a second. About the lottery, though.
You said the word grit. And then you said Anthony Davis. And I saw a face from Gutierrez and Blackstone. And, well, come on. Tell me what's on your mind, Kevin.
I don't know. I just don't associate Anthony Davis and grit unless we're talking about the grit that you actually cook.
Okay.
In the South.
I mean, come on now. I feel like this is a big man. And he's got a lot of kinetic chain issues right now. I mean, we're talking his whole body. One thing goes off on a big man, and a lot of things go off. And I know it's held over him like he's fragile, but the reality is this has been true of so many before. Mina Kimes, you want to say something?
Yeah, he's playing through injury, and he held the Knicks to 1 of 5 shooting in clutch time last night. Like, we're really going to say he doesn't have grit? I don't agree with that.
So while those guys are questionable for tonight, we'll turn our attention to Brooklyn James Harden. Probable! Hurro! What do we got here? He's missed 18 straight games. But, of course, we can't have all good news. Questionable Kyrie Irving. Facial contusion. This is just, it's now comedy here. Pablo, is now the right time for Harden to come back? Or could the Nets have waited just a little bit longer considering their seeding? And what's his expectation to get up to speed?
Now is the right time, because the thing about where we are in this season vis-a-vis all of these seeding issues that are very important, both the Lakers and the Nets, you reveal things, right? The Nets don't want to be the 3 seed. They don't want to see the Sixers atop the East and then the Bucks before they get to, like, the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, this game matters so much, so James Harden better be ready even if he's not.
KB?
Yeah, I hope he's ready, because I don't want to see him in that leather jacket and what was that, Hawaiian shorts and shirt that
he can't pull it off.
He
can. You can.
Man, I guess, yeah, I couldn't do that. But look, they haven't played 10 games together all year. They're big three. So we don't really know what they're going to look like. And he's got to come back and get in basketball shape overnight. It's very difficult for them. Once again, they're not in nearly dire situations like the Lakers because of their health concerns, but they're in a situation which puts them behind the eight ball, or at least behind, I think, 2 teams in the
East. Israel Gutierrez?
I'm still a little jarred with Pablo calling Alex Caruso the Steph Curry stopper. I don't know when the right time is, because it really just has to do with whether or not Harden's basically said it. It depends on how healthy James Harden is, because obviously he came back or tried to come back, had a bit of a setback, and now here we are with just a few games left. I'm not sure exactly what James Harden does to fill the gap of what this team actually needs, which is rim protection and some sort of grit, if you will. You know, the time to bring him back is when he's healthy. If he has no other setbacks, then, they should be
Mina
good.
Kimes.
I think what James Harden does for this team has been revealed in his absence. I've seen people say, well, really, is he going to help out on defense? Yes, they got better on defense with James Harden, largely because of his rebounding. That is what he brings to the team. They need him. They need him against Milwaukee. And as Pablo said, they need the 2 seed.
27-7 in Harden games this year. Kimes, 9. Gutierrez, 11. Blackstone, 11. And Torrey, 8. Buy or sell on the other side.
He's going to try to stop Steph. He's not going to stop Steph. Very important distinction.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
Ten strikeouts, one earned run, and after 7 innings of work on the mound, Shohei Ohtani went out to right field to finish the game. Only problem was offense gave him nothing all night, and then the bullpen got smoked in the 8th, and the Astros beat the Angels. Ohtani's season ERA is 2.1, and he only has one decision. Pablo, what do you buy? What do you sell from all that?
I buy everything about Ohtani. He is a once-in-a-century talent. That is not an exaggeration. That is actually how often a guy comes around and does this in baseball. And I buy that you don't get all of it by just looking at the stats. Yes, he is atop the majors in home runs with 10. That's great. But you look at that record, Tony, and it's 1-0, and that's 1-0. That's fine. But, like, go watch him. Watch him walk out to right field and understand. We don't see this.
Okay. I think that's been established. The 1-0 record is something. The fact that they can't win his starts, they can't win with Mike Trout. Go ahead, Kevin Blackstone, join us.
Well, I love seeing it because I love athleticism. And you know what, Pablo? I bet you could see more of this if only baseball wasn't so stuck in yesteryear, or if they were stuck in the real yesteryear when Babe Ruth was also a pitcher. You know, some of these guys are fantastic athletes. Bob Gibson was a fantastic athlete. Rick Ankiel, we know his story, but he was a guy who could pitch, hit, and also play the field. I want to see more of this Swiss knife kind of baseball player. I love it.
Israel Gutierrez?
I mean, I too love everything about Ohtani, but you, Tony, said the offense gave him nothing. He is the offense. He went 1-for-4 with 2 strikeouts. And so if he were to have done more at the plate, I'd say, wow, this is a great game. As of right now, celebrating the fact that he walked out to right field, which is pretty much all he did.
Okay, but I mean, you can't put it on him. What more do you want him to do? Again, I bring this up, Mina, because we just talked about Albert Pujols, and we talked about Mike Trout being the best player still in the game. They have Ohtani, and this is a franchise that is letting it all kind of just happen behind a 500 record. Go ahead.
Yeah, Tony, nobody's selling Ohtani. We're selling the Angels. We're selling the bullpen, which blew that game. They have the 25th best ERA in baseball. We're selling the defense. They've committed the most errors of any team and allowed the highest batting average on balls in play. It's a bad team. They've got Ohtani and Trout, but everyone around them stinks.
Move on to the Seattle Mariners. I'm not going to make a witty transition here, Mina Kimes, but I see your face.
I'll do it for you.
Well, here's the story. They're calling up Jared Kelenic, number one prospect, tomorrow. From Jeff Passan is reporting that, but it's going to happen. The timing of this, Kelenic and a whole lot of other people felt the Mariners held him back after spring training and leading the team in OPS to manipulate his service time and control his contract longer. Now he gets called up. The team's hitting 208, last in the majors, but they're 18-18, not out of the mix, I guess, Mina. You know what the Mariners did, and you know it's within the rules and standard operating procedure, but what to make of all this now?
Well, Tony, since I've been on Around the Horn, I think it's been 4 years, we've talked about the Mariners twice on this show. One was when they didn't get Shohei Ohtani. I don't even think that made the show. And the other, and this is what's relevant, is when their former president, Kevin Mather, revealed it to like a Rotary Club, that they were manipulating Jared Kelenic's service time. The game was already given away. So if he's mad, he has a right to be mad. They obviously need his batting. They already screwed this up.
If I could ask a follow-up, though, for a franchise that has the longest drought, playoff drought, they haven't been in the playoffs, in all, in at least 4 sports.
Yes.
Is he the type of player that can get them over the hump?
He's one of them. I mean, that's the exciting thing about the Mariners. They have a lot of exciting young players. Logan Gilbert, the young pitcher, is going to be called up soon as well. And that's why I'm excited as a Mariners fan, the future, not what's happening this season.
Gutierrez?
I mean, Kevin Mather said the quiet part loudly, and he said it too loud, and now everybody's really in on this and knows exactly what's happening here, and it's going to dissolve the relationship potentially between the two if they don't try to fix it now. So it's pretty damaging.
Kevin Blackstone?
It's bad all the way around. I mean, first of all, they should bring him up because he's an exciting talent and people will come out to the ballpark to want to watch him. I remember going out to watch Bryce Harper when he came up. And just the other day, we talked about the best young players in baseball who are all like 22 years old. This guy could be in the mix. And this other part about the whole service deal that Mather alluded to,
is a big problem in baseball. It's like an old relic of the reserve clause or something, and it really impacts the financial security of young players. They need to get rid of it.
Pablo Torre.
The service time thing is standard operating procedure. It's not great, I get it, but can we just shed a tear for the Mets here? This dude was a Mets prospect. They traded him for Robinson Cano, who's out for the year because of PED suspension. Incredible. Edwin Diaz, a terrible trade.
It's one of the greatest trades. Terrible for the panelists from New York, not for the panelist who's representing Seattle for us, Mina Kimes, Kevin Blackstone. Maybe Kimes will end her playoff drought here. Showdown in 2 minutes.
This is a tiny violin, by the way.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Five-star hoops recruit Patrick Baldwin Jr. going to Milwaukee over Duke, UVA, and Georgetown. Why? His dad, Patrick Baldwin Sr., is the coach. Choosing blood over blue blood. Mina Kimes, it's a pun you can appreciate. You endorse the move?
I do, yes. I love it for him. He clearly loves his family and doing what's best by him, spurning Coach K. More power to him. But as someone who remembers being 18 years old and wanting to get as far away as possible from my parents,
whoa, I'm back what you're saying here, Mina. Go ahead.
Well, maybe this is choosing blue blood over, or red blood over blue blood and purple blood, because Patrick Baldwin Sr. happened to have played basketball at Northwestern, and it's certainly been nice to see his...
Not about Northwestern. Now, you're getting a mute as well. Mina, your mom is going to Photoshop you onto something, like, terrible now that you said this on TV.
Oh, don't tell her I'm on the show today.
We'll move on. Showdown 2. Look at this rendering. DJ Club for Raiders home game right behind their end zone. It's opposite the black hole. We know DJs work every NBA game, and it's a big success. Does it work for the NFL? And come up with the name of Club Raider, Kevin Blackstone.
Well, of course it works for the NFL because it's in Vegas. That's like the rat being in the Met Stadium. Of course, you got to have a nightclub if you're in Las Vegas, and I would call it the Snake's Den after Kenny Stabler.
Okay. How about you, Mita?
That's classy. Yeah, Raiders fans have gone from throwing bottles, happened just a couple of years ago, to bottle service. As far as names go, I'll go with the Black Card Hole because people are going to be throwing money away at that place.
Kevin Blackstone, you've got 0 points, but you've got today's win. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you very much. I just want to give a shout out to Brianna Stewart, who just got a shoe deal, not with Nike, but with Puma, her own named brand shoe, which is really cool. But you know what's not cool? She's the first woman in 10 years to get a shoe deal with her own name. What have shoe companies been doing the last decade?
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.